If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Tuesday morning, April 9th, 2024. It is the Beating the Book podcast, the 88th Masters. Tradition unlike any other from Augusta. First major of the year, as always. Gil Alexander, joined by an esteemed panel of golf experts for the second straight year. Kelly, you might have been on for 3 years. But for the second straight year, the duo here.
That's a great question.
Yeah. We were going through, like, the history of Beating the Book Masters pods.
I think this is only my second year on.
Okay. So you and Wes both. So two-thirds of the long shots, current. By long shots, I mean there is a podcast, a dedicated golf podcast that VSiN has called Long Shots, colloquially called, it's called Long Shots, because that's how Matt Brown used to do the promo. Matt Brown, too much of a diva to be on the show. It's not true. He's going to Augusta, so we give him an excuse. But the other two members, for a second straight year, the great Wes Reynolds, everybody, co-host of VSiN Tonight. How you doing, Wes? Thanks for doing this again.
I'm well, Gil. Thanks for having me.
And congratulations on the future Jaeger 50-1 2 weeks ago. Were you on Batia?
I was not, just for a placement market, but he was very well tipped in the market and was able to get it home in that playoff. Now, when he hurt his shoulder, though, in the playoff hole, I was like, man, this is like very tennis. This is
near to your heart,
Gil. It was like, man, this is like Rafa Nadal going to the trainer in like the fourth set at Roland Garros or something. But nevertheless, he got it home after he got that shoulder taped.
What Wes is referring to, for those who don't know, Akshay Bhatia, who won at the Valero Open this past week, had a six-shot lead going into the back nine. And then Denny McCarthy went ballistic. Birdied 10, par 11, and then birdied 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. And it required Akshay Bhatia to have a tournament-tying putt on 18. It looked like he was going to lose it in regulation, if you will. He sinks the putt, and in celebration, it was a pretty tough putt, too. It was not a short putt. In celebration, he pumps his left arm. And Bhatia, what do we say, Wes? He weighs, what, 97, 98 pounds, roughly?
Yeah, he does. He's a big, tall guy, big, tall, skinny guy. It was very Grammatica.
Grammatica. That's why we have Wes on the show, for references like that.
That's great.
Was that Martine, just to get my Grammaticas correct?
I believe it was Martine Grammatica.
Okay.
Jumped on in the field goal celebration and then stumbled to the ground after that.
That's right. One of the great moments in NFL celebration history. So anyway, what we learn on the playoff hole, because they go back and they play 18 again, is that he's called for a trainer, and Wes is exactly right. This is like every tennis player who falls behind. Oh, my leg, I need a trainer. They're just trying to really save time. Sometimes it's legit. And in Batia's case, it was legit. And the announcers were, and I was texting Kelly. Kelly was on the air because he couldn't really get it because he was on the air. I'm texting Kelly. I'm like, the announcers are speculating that he hurt his shoulder on the celebration. And then I was like, oh, my God, it's confirmed. He partially dislocated his shoulder. But it didn't matter in the end because he was still able to hit an approach shot, or the shot before the approach shot. And then McCarthy hit in the creek anyway, and then I'm sure his shoulder started feeling much better.
Yeah, it's tough to putt from the creek, Denny.
Yeah, it is. Wes, let me just before. By the way, that's the voice of Kelly Bidlin. I shouldn't assume that this audience knows who you are.
That's true.
You're like yapping like it's a numbers game.
That's
Kelly Bidlin, along with Wes Reynolds, two-thirds of the long shots crew. And before I ask Wes this question, the third member of the panel is Sia Najad, who we have on the radio side all the time. Sia is a host and analyst at Sportsline and the Monumental Sports Network in good old D.C. in the DMV. Sia comes to us. You won't be able to see this, but he has a one of the all-time very good Santana Moss photo behind him where he's throwing up the 21 for Sean Taylor, which I always love. Sia, good morning. Thank you for doing this, man.
Good morning. Listen, I wish I was on the right side of Batia for the outright, but I had him for a first round leader at 65-1. The reason I bring that up is because I have a lot in common with Akshay Batia. You guys know I've told this story. I've dislocated my shoulder 7 times, like fully dislocated.
And
before the first of 7, playing basketball mostly, before the first of 7, it would go like Akshay's went, where it would pop out, but then pop right back in and basically be okay outside of some soreness. So anyway, I could very much relate to that. It was painful for me to watch after I realized what had happened when he was pumping his fist. But yeah, that brought back some gruesome memories for sure.
7 times. Is it just like it's going to happen for the rest of your life that it's just going to pop out now?
When it's in compromising positions, yes. It's usually like, you know, playing basketball or football. I put it in an awkward spot. Weight gets pushed against it. It comes out. It's very hard to put it back now, in.
I wasn't going to ask about the compromising positions.
Now, are you like full on rigs at this point, Sia? Do you like you able to just slam it against a wall, right, like Mel Gibson style, all badass? Just pop it back in?
Before the anti-Semitism he's talking about.
Yes, yeah, pre-anti-Semitism. Yeah, the first 4, I was able to put it back in myself. I'm kind of like wiggling into my shoulder. The last 3, I needed assistance in a very, very big way.
Wow. Wiggling into your shoulder. Oh, man.
Right.
And the last thing, I'm sorry, I don't mean to belabor this, but the first time that it dislocated was some traumatic event and then it just never corrected?
Well, the first time it dislocated, it popped right back in. That was kind of my high school days where I realized there was a problem, but it wasn't so much of a problem. The tears and all of that stuff inside like wasn't as big of a deal for it to stay out. Wow. So it wasn't fully compromised. And then it became fully compromised. And when it came out, it stayed out.
So wait, does this mean no one can bet on Batia for the Masters? Because he qualifies for the Masters with this win. But now, like, if you wanted, let's just say if you had an inkling to bet him, and someone pointed out this morning, it was Hasselbauer, who was like, if he hadn't qualified, it would have been exactly 88 golfers for the 88th Masters. So he fucked that up.
Yeah.
Let's just
what
say
a
that.
Jerk.
What an ass. But if you had an inkling to bet him now, would you not because of this situation?
I'll answer this one first because I don't know about you guys, Wes and Sia. He is definitely a guy that I had circled to bet this week. Yet, it's a major week. You can always make so many cases for so many guys that, yes, Gil, that is pretty much all it took for me to cross off my list this week where I don't really know what his shoulder is doing. If it's in, it's out. How easily can it pop back out again like Sia is talking about?
Makes sense.
So, yeah, I did cross him off my list. Wes, Sia, yeah, I don't know how you guys handled him.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Sia. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, I don't think it's a problem, to be honest with you, because it wasn't fully compromised in the sense of it like being out for a while. That's when you really have to stabilize and you got to worry about the joint and the ligaments and around the joint itself. The fact that he's at a stage where it's popping right back in, it's probably going to be some soreness for a couple of days, but it's actually not going to affect his golf swing at all. The fact that he had his hand up in a non-golf position when he was celebrating that putt, by the way, great putt by him, but that's not a position where you're putting your shoulder in, and therefore outside of a couple days of soreness, I actually think he'll be fine with his swing.
Same for you, Wes.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I agree with in terms of the diagnosis that Sia, having had this injury before, just gave there. But the one thing I will say, because as we're recording this, we're now getting the pairings being released, and
he is actually
in the one of the afternoon groups, which I do wonder. Because all the top 5 in the betting, by the way, are in the AM wave on Thursday. And if we get weather, I think it's going to be in the afternoon. So I wonder if we're going to get a scenario like we did last year where the afternoon guys are going to have to make up to get this back on time and, you know, play 28, 30 holes in a day or something like that. So that's the only thing that I could see that could be a bugaboo on this injury for Batia if he's got to play a lot of extra golf if you get weather in that afternoon wave Thursday.
Watch this. Bugaboo, hip-hop record. Who's the artist, Wes?
It's Destiny's Child, of course. I think.
Yeah, no, but they had a Bugaboo too. They had a
they had one too. Man.
I was thinking of a hip hop record, but yes, that's correct.
They had one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so I want to seize on the weather thing momentarily, but before I do that, because there's going to be the Beating the Book audience may not be as familiar with the Long Shots crew, but Kelly, Wes, and Matt are going to do a live thing. For those who happen to listen to this today, they're going to do a live thing at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific tonight, which is the Tuesday before the Masters.
Don't worry, Wes. It's not actually live.
It's not actually live, Kelly. But we just say it's live. By the way, I completely thought it was live, and Kelly like burst my bubble.
I was
like,
wondering
why
Gil all on a numbers game.
I was so worried about it.
Yeah, it's acting like I have the longest day ahead of me. I was so confused for a moment.
And for those who are wondering, hey, if I'm listening to this, why should I listen to that? Because you guys will go deep dive into that more than you will here necessarily.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Matt Brown's picks as well.
Yeah, we are. I know Sia does a lot of this too, but very heavy data driven. That we will talk through that lens. That's what you'll hear a lot more on the podcast, more so than I'm guessing what you're going to tee us up with questions here for. So
we got to leave something for you.
That's right. So you'll hear it much more through that lens on the podcast.
I also want to say this, that these are not just three. I used the word Schmendricks on a numbers game this morning. These are not just three Schmendricks of golf. Sia, and he doesn't want to be known for this, hits a ridiculous percentage, and I'm not even making this up, of first round leader bets. Which is maybe the most, even as I'm saying it, I'm like, this is the most ridiculous thing in the world. But it's true. He does. Wes, you help me out here, Kelly. Is there anybody who hits more outrights in anything than Wes Reynolds does in golf?
No. I mean, that for a comparable sports, no.
Yes.
Like, that is, we're talking about the two guys. I mean, for Wes Reynolds, I think a lot of people have been following his stuff for years with golf. Hits outrights at a higher rate than almost anybody I know. And Sia Nishad, absolutely the first round. He's become the first round leader king over the past couple years.
The Sia thing's just a comical. It's unbelievable.
It is, because yeah. I had some success that I stumbled into, I think, much like Sia, when we kind of first round leader markets became more widely available. For whatever reason, I found myself stumbling into success there. But it's like betting a first quarter of an NBA game, right? Yeah. Like, it's not really. You're ideally letting your handicap play out.
By the way, we're talking like these guys aren't even here. Sia's like, it's not.
No, you're right.
Yeah. Okay. So, and I also just want to point out before we get into this particular Masters that you, Kelly, do, by the way, Kelly's a great golf handicapper in his own right. You do things by model. Wes, you don't necessarily do it that way, correct? How would you characterize it?
Kind of a combo platter. I'm not totally model driven. A lot of it is market driven as well. A lot of it is just, you know, following this throughout the year. So it's not like a particular model. It's more like a statistical context of things that I think are going to be important on week to week basis.
By the way, how much like pressure do you feel because you're so good at this? Like, if you have a week or two, or God forbid, Wes, that you go a month without hitting an outright, do you like lose your mind? Do you start to get high anxiety?
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, because look, I had a few week drought before I hit Jaeger in Houston, and
yes.
You know, and because of these droughts, that's what led me a little bit more to like placement markets, you know, the top 20s and the top 30s, where it's like, hey, can I still make money when I'm not hitting an outright wager? And you know, that has helped me at least most weeks. But yeah, look, you know, I put a little bit, probably too much pressure on myself. But, you know, when you devote yourself to this, you obviously want to get out what you put into it.
I love on the VSiN.com/picks page when I'm lucky enough to be in the top three. It's like Wes Reynolds, like Gil Alexander 2. He went 3-2 the last week for, you know, whatever the percentage ROI. 3-2, right? Wes Reynolds is in first place. He's like 178 or something like that with all his plays.
Less fires, baby.
And then Sia does things by locating and dislocating his shoulder. What would you say is your handicapping approach?
I would say it's a combo between Wes and Kelly's. Like, I tend to steer away from models, but I got to admit, like, the things I'm looking at are inputs into models. I'm just looking at it more granularly, hard word to say, by the way. So I'm looking at strokes gain data mostly, but I'm just looking at it piece by piece, because I want to see, like, even the smaller sample sizes that a model might show, like round by round, tournament by tournament scoring, whereas a model might just, like, you know, collate all of that stuff over whatever, however many rounds you want to do it, but 16, 24, 50, whatever. I just want to look at it piece by piece. So it's kind of a long way to do it, but it's kind of using both approaches that Wes and Kelly use.
Okay. So
I probably should just clarify too, Matt Brown often does this. I'm not sitting here coding and like running all this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm using a lot of great stat engine websites that are out there, like Fantasy National, RickRunGood.com, BetSperts, a lot of these guys that we've had on the show.
You mean
before.
You're not scraping
data? Yeah, I know that might be shocking to you and some of the some of the audience out there. Yeah.
That's right. Oh, that's very honest of you.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
So 88th Masters, and again, we should always point out with the Masters, the most predictive of golf courses from one year to the next. Obviously, it's the only major that plays on the same golf course. And as we alluded to earlier, it is a smaller field than what we're normally used to. And we just mentioned 89 golfers here with the pairings coming out right now. And many of those, not many, but a more than negligible percentage of the 89 are going to be, as we like to joke every year, winners from like the Eisenhower administration, right? The Larry Mizes of the world in years gone by and those kind of the Bernard Langers and those kind of players. So you really do have a smaller pool than normal. And let me start with what Wes brought up. This is always the best place to start up. If you look at the weather forecast in Augusta, and we know how weather forecasts go, but right now we're seeing some rain and wind on Thursday for the first round and some wind on Friday. Saturday and Sunday is supposed to be glorious. So it's funny how you couched it, Wes, because earlier on a numbers game, we had Drew Dinsick on, who's also a nice golf handicapper, and he was talking about how he thought the advantage might go, am I right about this, Kelly? He did the opposite. He said the advantage might go to the afternoon Thursdays and the morning Fridays.
And yes, no, correct.
Correct. Is, and you, off air, you're like, yeah, these guys, everyone's really like has assumptions about the weather. And Wes is saying the opposite now, that your sort of operating instinct is that the folks in the afternoon on Thursday might get the worst of it.
Yeah, look, it's hard to predict a weather bias. You know, that's what we try to do every year. It's seemingly for the Open Championship in July. But, you know, more often than not, the wind, at least, is going to be more benign, you would think, in the morning. And that's why I think, you know, on a just week-to-week basis on the PGA Tour, the majority, and CM maybe can confirm this or go a different way with it, but it seems like a lot of the first-round leaders are in morning draws. More often than not on PGA Tour events, guys that are getting out maybe those first 10 to 15 groups in the morning. Now, keep in mind, there's only 30 pairings here at Augusta because there's only 89 players. There's one group that's a twosome that I think is the first out, and then you have threesomes throughout the rest. So I think, like we were talking about with Batia, he's like in the 22nd of 30 groups, so that would make him in the afternoon wave. But yeah, look, last year, obviously, the weather turned this topsy-turvy where it looked like Brooks Koepka was very much the winner. And then John Rahm had to go. You know, John Rahm proved that you can come from the tough side of the draw and obviously win here. So just because you're on the bad end of the draw doesn't mean that you can't triumph, ultimately.
Yeah, John Rahm, the defending champion. Scottie Scheffler, his only major win was the year before that. All right, well, Wes, have you seen any things? I know I'm asking you to do two things at once here, but have you seen anything in the pairings just on a glance that makes you lean certain directions or makes you cross out anybody?
Well, the featured pairing, and it's going to be in the early wave on Thursday and then the afternoon wave on Friday. I believe they are group number 12, and you've got three of the top four in the betting paired together. So you have Scottie Scheffler paired with Rory McIlroy and Xander Schauffele.
Oh.
And they are paired together. And the group in front of them, I believe, is John Rahm, the defending champion, Matt Fitzpatrick, and Nick Dunlap, who, of course, was the amateur that won the American Express that has since turned professional.
Okay. So what is that? Does that do anything for you from a handicapping standpoint? Not really.
You know, it doesn't change it as much because, look, and Rory and Xander are two that I do like this week, at least on the short end of the board. But look, you're going to have to be paired and go against great players if you want to do great things at Augusta. So I don't think you can be intimidated by that. Now, I was mainly looking at, okay, are some of these guys going to be paired with Tiger? And that's where it would have been a little bit of a concern with me if they were going to be paired with Tiger, because look, that's going to be obviously a big story, even though he's 150-1 on the odds board, is he going to be able to make it? Is he going to be able to make the cut? What is the physical toll going to be on him? Because last year I thought the physical toll was at least a little bit easier through the first two rounds, simply because Louis Oosthuizen withdrew from that group. So keep in mind, he played in a twosome with Joaquin Niemann. So that's a little bit easier than having to stop and start with three players in the group. And just the walk, I think, kind of got to him, and he made the cut on the number and then withdrew over the weekend. So I wanted to make sure maybe some of my guys were not paired with Tiger, because if they see him struggling, it may weigh on them a little bit, you know, to see if he's playing bad and really struggling physically, especially the ones that are like really close to him, like Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth. But neither were paired with Tiger, as I'm actually scrolling through.
Yeah, Jason Day and pairings. Max Homa.
Yeah, Tiger. I believe. And I think, yeah. Is that a late pairing, I believe?
Yeah, 124. Yes.
Okay.
By the way, do you see this prop, Mickelson versus Tiger, that some shops had, where it was like really tightly lined, and now I think Mickelson's -140. Phil Mickelson, who, for those who forget, finished with a flourish last year, shot a 65 on the final round, and was he tied for second last year in the end?
Yeah.
Behind Rahm. Yeah. That's a curious line, don't you think?
I'm not really surprised. We had somebody actually on Matt Humans and I's program last night, VEASAN, and I had said, I really like Phil over Tiger here, because Phil, even though he's not really in contention on a week-to-week basis on LIV and it's 54 holes, he still at least is playing competitive golf. Tiger Woods, by the way, has not finished four rounds in an official event. I'm not including the Hero World Challenge. Has not finished an event where he's played all four rounds since the 2023 Genesis Invitational. So it's been over a year since this guy has played four rounds in tournament play.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. I wasn't clear. I couldn't believe it was so short, and -140 seems short to me still for Mickelson.
Yeah, it was like -115 at BetMGM overnight.
I saw one that were even tighter. I mean, I would be leaning Phil. I would not be running out to bet though. I would not be betting Tiger or Phil this week.
All right. Well, let's start out with some outrights. Sia has not a hard out, but a hardish out. So let's do outrights first, and then we'll sort of throw it Sia's way. But Kelly, right now, 48 hours before the tournament. The tournament is who do you say?
The tournament.
The tournament. Gil, we don't like your kind around here. what do you have in pocket as an outright, and then what are you thinking about right now?
I think my outrights are settled. I think my outright card is complete. There are definitely some bets I still have to add, as Vegas is taking its time to post some things here in town.
Oh, Nevada.
So the outrights are about the only thing that is settled, I would say, for me right now. I have three that I made over the past couple months. I have three that I've made this week. Justin Thomas, Hideki Matsuyama, Will Zalatoris, I bet in the mid-30s over the past couple months. I absolutely love Hideki this week.
Nice.
So much more that I added back onto him at a shorter number. He might be my favorite. He is my favorite play this week. No matter how you're playing him, Hideki Matsuyama is my favorite play this week. JT and Zalatoris had some great stretches earlier in the season. Their past couple events have both been a little meh, not so great. JT, obviously, the change in caddy with him.
Does that matter to you, by the way, so close to the event? Because it's not just any caddy, right? It's Bones.
It does. Sia, Wes, I don't know how you guys feel about this. With JT and the amount of experience he has at Augusta, I'm not worried about it as much, but I don't know how you guys look at that.
I just think it's a sign that he's flailing more than anything else. The timing of it just seems very curious with a very respected guy on the back. So it doesn't inspire much confidence. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and with me, look, Matt Minster is a really good caddy. He was with Patrick Cantlay for several years, and they had some success together. So I'm not worried about the quality of service he's going to get on the bag. But it does beg the question, like Sia was saying, like, because I feel like Justin Thomas has played much better this year than he did last year, where he was totally lost and missing cuts badly. But he's still kind of searching for something, and that gets in your head a little bit. And he hasn't won since that PGA Championship at Southern Hills 2 years ago. So he certainly is questioning it, but I think he is in better, like, pure playing form, just watching him, than he was this time last
year. Yeah, I agree with Wes. That's kind of why I put the bet in it for the first place. I think the consistency you're getting out of Zalatoris and JT right now, though, is a little shaky, so I didn't go back in on those guys in any other markets. Hideki, I did add. The other outrights that I did bet, Wyndham Clark, debutant. I did bet him at 35-1. A little bit of that, I bet him in the top debutant market too. I mean, we'll hit on that when we get to other bets. I did add a small outright bet on him though, just because this mark, the number I found 35-1, he had been kept getting chopped down. I think he's mainly around 25-28-1 in that range right now. So that was part of the reason, part of a number play. And then I know he's on Sia's card as well. Shane Lowry, I do have as an outright, is my long bomb, my one long kind of outright here for this tournament. Lowry was incredible in Florida, has put together some great results. If we're going to talk about rain, we know this guy can play in the rain. We've seen that plenty of times before, done it at a very high level. So Shane Lowry definitely is kind of the one long shot, I would say, that I do have a lot of interest in this week.
Shane Lowry, whose top finish here was tied for third a couple years ago at the Masters. Obviously, the Open Championship, his one major win. By the way, Dave Tindall, for those who are golf hardos, who are familiar with Dave Tindall, across the pond, he writes for Betfair. He does his Masters formula every year. We just had him on a numbers game where he has criteria for the last 10 Masters winners, and he winnows it down on a point system to who actually has the most points. First time he's ever had a tie at the top, and it is Hideki and Rory tied as his potential Masters winners per his formula. By the way, he hit the runners-up the last 2 years. Runners up, so he didn't get the champ, but he got the number two spot. Wes, I heard you mention Xander earlier, so I'm very excited to hear what you're about to say. You're outright.
Yeah, and Xander is on my card. If you really look, Scottie Scheffler has been, you know, the man among mortals, I guess, if you will, statistically, not just winning two events back-to-back at Bay Hill and at the Players, first guy to ever defend at the Players in that event's history. But the guy right behind him on a lot of these categories is Xander Schauffele, and I have him at a little bit of a better number. I think 16-1 might be the best you can get out there right now. But Xander right now, second in total strokes gain, top 20 and off the tee approach, around the green, a little bit down the board putting. He's 80th, whereas Scheffler, I think, is around the 100 mark. But Xander was fifth on tour in the same category in putting last year. So it seems like it can heat up at any moment. Xander actually has the longest active consecutive cut streaks made on the PGA Tour at 42. He's 9 ahead of Scheffler, who's in second at 33. Last cut was actually at the Masters here 2 years ago, but he was T3 in 2021. That was the year Matsuyama won. Was T2 in 2019 here at Augusta. I think he's been the second best player on the PGA Tour this season. He's got 6 top 10s. You know, it's kind of like, maybe I'm ready to get hurt again with this guy, but it's long past time for this guy to be second best. You know, he's always kind of right there. I had him at the Players, and I felt like, man, this is the time he's going to win a really, really big one here. And just got passed by Scottie Scheffler and ends up T2 with Clark and Harmon. So, you know, Xander Schauffele was a guy. The number is short, but I think it's short for a reason.
The reason I seize on that is for the obvious reasons, because he has burned probably more golf bettors who had him in outrights than anyone that I can think of over time. But you're not the only one to anecdotally anyway, that seems to have landed on him for this, that are willing to go back with him. So I think that's interesting.
Yeah, and you know, there's on the shorter end, Xander, and then I did also play Rory. Speaking of getting hurt again, if you've been betting him at the Masters, you've been getting hurt the last 10 years as he's trying to finish this Grand Slam. But I liked what I saw at the Valero last week. 1.88 strokes gained approach per round. That's the best that he had done, I believe, since the Canadian Open 2 years ago when he won. Because it came out that he's been out to Vegas a few times working with Butch Harmon. And, you know, maybe Butch is a good elixir, at least in a short term. So he's trying things. And he's off the PGA Tour policy board, resigned back in December. Of course, he's been the focal point of the PGA Tour versus LIV divide, I think, as much as any other player. And I think he kind of just wants to put that on the back burner. It's like, man, I need to win this thing. This is the last thing I have to really accomplish as an individual player. So Rory McIlroy, I did have a little bit at 13. Joaquin Niemann, I'd still maybe play smaller at 30-1. I got 50-1 actually when he won the LIV event in Jeddah last month. But this guy, you look at the form on this guy has been terrific for about the last 5 or 6 months, really worldwide. He's already won 2 LIV events. He's trying to get his world ranking up because he mentioned after Mayakoba, hey, I'm not in the majors. He's 93rd in the world. And this is a guy, it's probably a top 15 or 20 player in the world if we're really, you know, looking at it realistically. But he's got to move that world ranking up just to get into the U.S. Open, just to get into the PGA and the Open Championship. So this is an opportunity. He's got to go, you know, where not, if he doesn't win the thing, he at least finishes like top 3 or 4. So Joaquin Niemann, I played, I would play at 30. A couple guys in like the mid 40s and 50s because I'm still finishing my card. Tony Finau, whose majors form has not been great lately, but before that bad run was really good. And I liked how he played in Houston a couple weeks ago, runner up. So really good tee to green. The putter's been good in 3 of the last 4 starts. I played him about 45-1. And then another guy who's hurt a lot of people. I'm going with all the guys that are just heartbreakers this week. Cameron Young, 55-1, who is actually, I think, in better form coming into this Masters than last year when he was 25-1. And ultimately finished 7th. 7 runner-up finishes on the PGA Tour in the last 3 years for Cameron Young. But he's got the game here. He was the early leader in round 1 last year. So I just went on the drift here. I just went on double the price for a guy that I think is probably in better form this time around.
Also, in the same way that I brought up Tyndall and who he landed on, I should bring up because you brought up Tony Finau. And because we can hear gasps already when we bring up Schauffele or Finau from all golf bettors listening to this. When Joe Pita, our friend who people know from baseball analytics and also golf analytics, when he did the 2019 Masters Tour Guide, where he had access to the proprietary Augusta data, his conclusion was that Tony Finau was going to win that 2019 Masters. He was actually the 3rd round leader, if I'm not mistaken. Didn't get there. But Finau's analytics on this course over time are as good as anyone's. All right, see ya. Your outrights, and then you can vomit out everything else at this point too, but let's start with your outrights.
Yeah, I like what I just heard from Wes and Kelly. I mean, I don't know that Brooks Koepka's name was mentioned, but you know, I don't want to go narrative shopping too much here, but the big game hunter thing actually is true for Brooks Koepka. And even though on LIV, he's not taking down tournaments, I do think Brooks is one of those guys that none of us are going to be surprised if he wins this tournament. I got it at 20-1. I think it's 18, maybe 16-1 in some markets. But again, Brooks Koepka, when he's not injured, because don't forget, he missed a couple of cuts here when he was kind of dealing with injuries. But otherwise, I believe we've got 2 second-place finishes and a 7th-place finishes over the last 5 years. So I really like him. I don't know that he's getting enough respect for in the market. And I do think that has something to do with LIV and just not really flashing on LIV necessarily. But Hideki Matsuyama, Kelly mentioned him. And there's a guy that Wes mentioned, too, that I'm really surprised about, but is also on my card. So I'm really happy to hear that. But there's not much else we can say about Decky. We know the recent form has been very good. I don't know that there's anybody in this field. I mean, obviously, probably 2 or 3 that you could make the argument for. That's more comfortable at Augusta than Hideki Matsuyama. We know he has the win in 2021. But since 2015, for the record, think about that. It's a long time ago. He's made every cut. Okay, that's kind of impressive. And finished inside the top 20. 8 out of those 9 times. That is really, really, oh, by the way, the one time he didn't finish inside the top 20, he was a disgusting T32. I mean, this guy is just a walking top 10, top 20 machine at Augusta specifically. He's got the around the green game. He checks the weighted off the tee, approach boxes, long iron play. Obviously, around the green is super solid for him. Absolutely love him. Cam Young's the guy that I was surprised Wes mentioned. I'm really happy about it because I think Wes is right. I think he is in better form now than he was before. And for the record, this is his third time at the Masters. He missed the cut his first time. No shame in that. Debutant, all that stuff. But the second time, he was excellent off the tee and he was excellent with the putter. He checks all the boxes I'm looking for with long irons, you know, off the tee, approach game, all of that stuff. What's interesting about him, and maybe this is a small sample size, but his around the green game is not very good, right? But at Augusta, the two times he's been there, he's been relatively neutral. I mean, he hasn't had a poor performance, hasn't had a great performance around the green. So I think the argument can be made that he might actually have some success here around the green. And because he checks all the other boxes, I think 55-1, 50-1 is like borderline disrespectful. I know he doesn't win. I get that part, but we make the same argument about Xander Schauffele, and I'm not sure the talent gap between those two is that dramatic. So 55-1, 50-1, absolutely love Cam Young.
All right, see ya. First round leaders, where you've made your hay.
Yeah, I'll make this super easy. We talked about Cam Young getting in front of it in the first round. I like him. I like Hideki Matsuyama, and I like Brooks Koepka. I'm going with my outright card. Here's part of the reason I don't normally do this. But 2 weeks ago at the Houston Open, Wes Reynolds had Steven Yeager. Well, I had Steven Yeager first round leader, but I didn't have him in my outright card. Last week I had Akshay Bhatia first round leader. Turns out that hit, but he didn't, you know, I didn't have the Akshay Bhatia outright. And so that's 2 weeks in a row where I've had the first round leader, but not the outright. And it was the same guy. I'm just going to go ahead and go with guys that I know can get out in front of it. I mean, Decky, Cam Young, and Brooks, they fit that profile. And you know, most of them very comfortable here. I think at their numbers, which are in like the 28-1 range. And then in Cam Young's case, I think he's in the 45-1 range, like all three.
Like the sound of that. By the way, how dare you not have Bhatia to win the whole thing?
Yeah, geez.
I know.
They're terrible.
I don't know what I'm thinking.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's so funny because you guys do this so much more brilliantly than I do, but somehow in my head, hack golf better. I love Matsuyama and Koepka the most also, and Koepka because, like you said, big game hunter, right? I hate not having him and then seeing that shit-eating grin of his as he's just like, you know, crushing a course. So I will be on him. And then Matsuyama, I've said this on a couple occasions this week with Kelly, I just feel like if we on VSiN, for instance, maybe it's different with long shots, but on VSiN, if we somehow had a way of aggregating all the time we've spent, not only on a numbers game, but on every show, talking about all the great golfers in the world, from the Koepkas to the JTs to the Spieths to the Schefflers to the Rahms and beyond, I just feel like Matsuyama is the least talked about of all of that tier of golfers. And I get it. All right, maybe he's not quite the top of the tip of the top, but I just feel like he gets overlooked a lot. And, you know, besides providing us with the most iconic moment, or one of the more iconic moments in Masters history, with his caddy bowing at 18, which is just, you know, it's chill inducing. I have a feeling about him as well. Take that for what it's worth, which is not worth much, but those are the two I landed on. See, so that you can go tell us all your other bets here.
Yeah, by the way, one outright I forgot, and I think Kelly brought him up. I do like Shane Lowry at 60-1. I did want to point that out. He has been really hot in Florida. And let's see, at the Masters, his last four, T16, third, T21, T25. And he's really coming in with good form, particularly with the irons. So I think 60-1, that's the fourth guy on my card. I just forgot to mention him. So it's the three I mentioned plus Shane Lowry. Okay, so just a couple other picks. Tourney matchups, I got two for you. I got Shane Lowry, speaking of, over Colin Morikawa. I like Taylor Moore over Eric Cole. Taylor Moore in very, very good form. Some spike finishing positions. I do think he has some top 10, top 20 potential. Eric Cole's game is just not there right now for whatever reason. So Taylor Moore minus 130 over Cole. These are tournament matchups. And then I'll just rattle off a few finishing positions before I get out of here. Taylor Moore, T40. I like that at plus money. That's plus 110. I like Lucas Glover, who is also in very good form and has had some success at the Masters. Hasn't played a lot of it. He played a lot of it pre-2015. Hasn't played a lot lately, but when he has played, he's been okay. He certainly fits the bill for somebody who would T40 here. I like that at plus 105. Siwoo Kim minus 110 at T30. Very comfortable Masters history for him. I've got Shane Lowry T20 at plus 150. And a sprinkle bet, because I know people are going to be hesitant to bet Cam Young to win it for kind of obvious reasons. I think Cam Young in the top 10 market may be the better play, the more valuable play at plus 360. So that's something I think, you know, again, those plus 360 plays when it comes to the finishing market, you don't have to put a full unit on that, right? You don't even have to put a half a unit. You can put 0.3 units on that to get a full unit. So those are kind of like, if you like Cam Young, but you don't like him enough to bet him as an outright, maybe you take him in the top 10 where I think he can firmly land at plus 360.
All right, Sia, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. Sia Nejad, everybody. S-I-A-N-E-J-A-D on Twitter, just like it sounds. Monumental Sports Network and Sportsline host and analyst, and of course, a member, or at least a resident of the DMV now. Thank you, Sia. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Gil, Kelly, and Wes. See you soon. Have a great week.
You too.
Let's go. Get some winners.
Sia Nejad, kind to join us. He's got other stuff he's got to do as well. By the way, Wes, let me just point this out. When I asked about Bugaboo, I'm like thinking Ed OG and the Bulldogs, and Wes comes in with Destiny's Child, and I'm like, fucking Wes Reynolds on top of it, as always.
Well, I was trying to think of who you were thinking of, but I do remember that song. I was like, was it Destiny's Child or was it Ashanti? It was one of those early 2000 R&B ingenues.
It was great because I know you two well enough that I know Gil was trying to set up the alley-oop to show off the Wes Reynolds knowledge, and then he just came over the top
over
of it.
Over the top.
Yeah.
By the way, we didn't mention that on the show today. How great. We did a whole show. Obviously, college basketball was big. The most random moment of that game last night. Who's the kid on Purdue dunk?
Yeah,
that was
Camden Heidi.
Heidi.
I was out of my chair. I can't believe we didn't bring that up on.
We had 2 hours. We didn't bring it up. Am I wrong in saying that is easily one of the top five in-game dunks you've ever seen in your life at any level?
And yet they couldn't put it in the one shining moment video package at the end of the night. I'm like, come on, you know.
I didn't even think about it.
Like, squeeze that right in there, you know.
I love one shining moment. I was so mad how late it was last night. Like, it felt like it took forever.
Don't forget, we're going to have one shining moment at the end of this broadcast.
I love one shining moment. It's my favorite moment of the entire tournament.
How was that not in there? Well, let me go back to the expert, Wes Reynolds. I'm more of a Teddy Pendergrass one shining moment guy than I am a Luther.
I am too. I love Luther. And, you know, they switched it with a couple other singers. But, yeah, Teddy Pendergrass. And maybe I'm old school too, because that's when my university was, I think, a lot more relevant in college basketball, that being Indiana University, where they were always featured deep and multiple times in the package when Teddy Pendergrass was doing the number.
I know we're talking golf. I'm so glad you brought that up, though. I was like, I saw him, like, it was one of those I saw coming, but I was like, all right, what's this kid gonna do here? You know, like, what's this kid going to do on this putback? There's no, and then you're like, oh my god,
unbelievable. Well, one last college basketball question before we get back to golf. I think the golf people will forgive me, but I have Wes here, so I want to ask him. My big question last night was, forget the fact that UConn, obviously we know UConn's domination against Purdue last night come second half, but where I arbitrarily made the year 2000, where does that team rank for you since the year 2000? Are they the best college basketball team since that year?
In terms of a team that actually, you know, finishes winning the championship, I think it's at least the best team since 2012 Kentucky. And that, of course, was the AD team that ended up winning it all. That was Cal's lone national championship, perhaps. That has not been officially announced yet that he's leaving Lexington. But, yeah, I think in terms of, like, the Ken Pomeroy, I read this adjusted efficiency ranking just overall. It's the best team since 2001 Duke. So if you go by that type of rating and put some credence into that, I could certainly see that, but it's at least the best team in over a decade for me.
Dr. Bob had a non-winner, 2015 Kentucky, the team that was undefeated that got to the Final Four.
Because I was there at that Final Four in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium when Wisconsin knocked them off. So that's why I said non-championship team, because they did get all the way to the Final Four undefeated, where we're still waiting for that fully undefeated season since the last time with 76 Indiana.
Kent Benson, Quinn Buckner, and Scott May, Kelly. You remember it.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Totally.
By the way, you know what Wishnev was obsessed with yesterday? I can only say this on the podcast. I can't say this on the radio side. Wishnev yesterday morning goes, you got to find this out for me. In how long was this the most white starters for both teams combined?
I thought about that earlier in the tournament.
While you all were looking at a solar eclipse, I was like deep diving NCAA finalists and the only comp I could come up with. Now we're not talking, you know, pre-1966 UTEP, because the world was different and in a bad way. But the only comp I could come up with was like 1978 Duke. Kentucky, where they also had six Caucasian starters. Anyway, that was Wishnev's concern yesterday.
That's the thing about college basketball now. There was only one McDonald's All-American, by the way, in the Final Four. And that was Stephon Castle at UConn.
Wow.
Which you don't get that very often. And the fact that it's get old, stay old now in college basketball. It's all about the portal.
Yes.
Yeah. You got to get the blue chippers, but you got to get older guys. Cam Spencer, by the way, who he didn't get the most valuable player. I think it was Tristan Newton, but Cam Spencer for UConn just turned 24 on Saturday. And I looked it up. There were six NBA All-Stars this year, age 24 or younger.
Yeah, there was something where he's like older, and they listed all these NBA players. Yeah. I'm like, Cam Spencer's older than all those guys. Anyway,
Paolo Boncaro is 21.
He's like way older than Boncaro. Anyway, it's a golf podcast, but I'd love to get your thoughts on next year, because if Bama can keep those guys, man, I think Bama's the play. But that's a big if. Okay, back to golf. Wes, what else besides your outrights do you have in pocket already? What have you bet?
I'm going to be playing, and I'm actually going to be adding after we're done here, some placement markets. One matchup I did play. I did play Patrick Reed plus 115 over Tyrrell Hatton. And Tyrrell Hatton, if you were watching the Live Doral event last week, he was in the mix, didn't get it done there at the end. Dean Burmester won the playoff over Sergio Garcia. But this is just, Tyrrell Hatton has never really seemed to be comfortable at Augusta National, has never really liked it here. He's got one top 20 in seven appearances. And Patrick Reed, who, look, is not contending week in and week out on the Live Tour, loves this place. And he's still a magician around the greens with scrambling and around the green, which I think is going to really matter this week. So, you know, I was surprised to see Patrick Reed that big of an underdog. So I did play Patrick Reed plus 115 over Tyrrell Hatton on a matchup. And then for low amateur this year, I went with the big 6'8 kid who plays at Georgia Tech. You might remember if you watched the Open Championship last year. He was the first round leader there, and I went with Christo Lamprecht at plus 225 to be the low amateur here at Augusta National. And that's always kind of a crapshoot market, because you're getting the British amateur, you're getting the USAM, you're getting the Latino America amateur, so you're getting only a few in the field. But Christo Lamprecht, look, I got to think he's at least played Augusta National several times, being a member of the Georgia Tech golf team, you know, and being based at least in the state. So Christo Lamprecht plus 225 low am.
I'll also say it might be a crapshoot market for a lot of people out there. Wes Reynolds definitely has a better read on that kind of stuff than most of us. I'll say that much.
It's like Jason Weingarten doing baseball prospects.
Right, exactly.
Like, I think he knows what he's talking
about.
By the way, about debutantes, because it's our annual, you know, entree to using the word debutante, where no first-time Masters player has won the Masters since 1979, and Fuzzy Zeller. Do you throw out all first-timers to win it all, Wes?
More often than not, yes. But look, I don't have any on the card necessarily. But Kelly mentioned one though that usually you don't get a first timer that's already a major championship winner, and you do have that this year with Wyndham Clark. In terms of the debutante market, there's 20, by the way, this year in the 89 player field. Ludwig Aubert, who, you know, if you listen to Launch every week, Ludwig Aubert is like priced less than 20-1. He's already won on the PGA Tour and he's won on the DP World Tour, but it's like this guy gets priced like he's a major champion.
Yeah.
And now, now he's not a guy I'm necessarily high on this week, just because I think this, by the way, is the first major championship he's ever played. Ludwig Aubert. As much of a star as he is, this is going to be his first major championship appearance. So, man, if he does it, then maybe he is the next big thing in golf. And I think he is going to be, you know, a pretty big player for years to come. But, yeah, you've got a lot of people in this debutante market. But I don't bet him for the outright wins, but I think certainly for placements and any type of props, I don't think you want to ignore these guys, because keep in mind, Will Zalatoris was runner up his first time a couple years ago against Hideki Matsuyama.
That's right.
Jonas Blixt actually many years ago was a debutante and finished T2 here. So don't think that these guys are just all going to be at the bottom of the board when you're scrolling through. There's going to be a couple of these guys that contend.
Yeah. Honestly, Wes, this is as interesting as I can remember in a long time that the debutante market. God, I'm so sick of debutante and totality already. I'm only like I'm only halfway done with probably Masters content for the week. I'm so sick of saying the word debutante.
Anyway, before you go on, Wes, did you look for the clips yesterday? Did you see it?
I did not. I saw the coverage on television as I was doing some written work for the Masters stuff.
Yeah, we were doing the same.
Yeah, I saw. Well, at my hometown in Indianapolis, there was a big deal at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which I guess is a pretty good place to watch it. And I was watching that all the day. It's like, okay, they have totality here in New Hampshire,
yes,
but not yet in Vermont. Well, so yeah, it was
the totality spots were great and awesome, and just, it must be so cool. But I have a working theory that people lie when they're in other places. So, like, there's people in Vegas. When I was a kid in D.C. too, I have the same reaction in both times where I'm like, I didn't see a thing. And in both cases, there were people in the same spot that I was like, oh, it was amazing. Aren't people lying, Wes? Really? Aren't people full of it?
Yeah, look, I think people want something kind of exciting in their lives too, and you know, just want some kind of escapism from the normal day-to-day news cycle that we currently have. So, you know, maybe a little bit of embellishment.
I'm sorry, Kelly, you said totality. I apologize. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're fine. No, I was just are you kidding me? You know, I've been as fascinated with that as anybody. But no, the debutante market, I think, is really fascinating this year. I mean, you brought up all that stuff about Ludwig Aubert, but this is like Wes, I think that, you know, the course, we're moving back some of the tee boxes. Like, I do think like the course fits some of these guys' game pretty damn well, including Ludwig, including Wyndham Clark, including Akshay Bhatia. You know, if his shoulder can stay in the socket, you know, I think he's got a fighting chance. Denny McCarthy's right there in that market as well. So, I mean, we've seen other guys that have won this year. You know, obviously Pavone, Jake Knapp, Nick Dunlap. I'm excited to see what some of these guys can do, and I do have some betting interest in Wyndham Clark. As you said, the guy's already won a major. I don't really – the experience of Augusta is extremely important, but the moment's not going to be too much for him, that's for sure.
Those are all your bets? You have other bets that you made besides outrights?
I got others. I can roll through mine here quick. So outrights already went through those. I have a big bet top 10 on Xander Schauffele. That's the way I chose to attack that. Completely agree with everything that Wes said, though. I would have him as the second best guy, you know, on the PGA Tour right now. I think that there are the Masters is very interesting to me this year, because if you are someone who focuses heavy PGA Tour as I do and not as much LIV, and Wes does a little bit more with that stuff than I do. The LIV guys, yes, I think John Rahm, I think Brooks Koepka is interesting. I think it's great. I think Joaquin Niemann's interesting with the year he's putting together. I think his odds have maybe gotten a little too short, though, for me to have much interest, betting interest in him. So you kind of, if you throw out the LIV guys, then you can start picking through these PGA Tour guys. And man, Wes, like you could, it's only a handful of guys that you could really make a claim that are, okay, this is a world-class player who's in form coming into this tournament. That you can really feel confident backing. So I think that's part of the reason why I'm more confident putting some dollars behind Xander Schauffele than maybe a lot of people would be in this tournament, because he is one of those guys who's been getting it done basically week in and week out on tour this year. So yeah, I went top 10 on him. A heavy bet on Hideki top 20.
If Schauffele finishes 12th, will you never ever bet on him again for the rest of the calendar year?
No, I'll still.
You make me that promise?
I'll still bet on him. I'll still bet on him.
That's curious.
I have a heavy bet on the top 20 on Hideki Matsuyama. I will be adding finishing position markets here today. Other guys that I will be adding. Neiman, I will be mixing in somewhere. I think what I'm going to do with him is probably take a top 10 shot. Either he's got the game to show up and compete, and he's right around there, or we're all overrating what he's done this year. So I'll probably play a top 10 on him. Shane Lowry ended up playing in a couple matchups, so I might actually not play in any of the finishing position markets, but I think a top 20 bet on him is sound. Sia brought Siwoo Kim up. I will definitely be on him in a top 20 bet, waiting for some pricing to show up on him. And that's everything finishing position tournament matchups. Right now I have Hideki over Jordan Spieth. I don't hate Spieth this week. But this is more of a price play, only minus 120. I got to lay with Decky. I've got Decky.
I don't hate Jordan Spieth. You just hate Jordan Spieth in general.
As a human. Good point, Kim. Yeah. I hate Jordan Spieth in general. I hate how much he talks to the damn camera and stuff. Just get on with your game. But no, I think betting-wise this week, he is a guy you could make a case for. But the minus 120, not steep enough for me to stay away from a Decky matchup over him. And I bet Lowry plus 104 over Colin Morikawa. I believe that was the one that Sia mentioned. I'm on the same exact matchup as him. And then Lowry plus 120 over Matt Fitzpatrick. Matt Fitzpatrick, another guy that I don't think is going to have it. He could have a good week, but he's not really high on my radar. Colin Morikawa, not really a guy that's put it all together. And then a couple other props that I've bet so far. Wyndham Clark, I mentioned, as top debutant. And then Corey Connors, I bet for top Canadian. Corey Connors and Sahith Theegala were the guys that kind of I just left off my card. For other bets that I'm interested in, but Corey Connors made it for top Canadian for sure.
Okay. Did we lose Wes?
I think we just lost Wes.
Okay. Did Wes gave out all his plays, right? Didn't he already?
If not, they'll be up at VSiN.com.
VSiN.com/picks. Let's try to get Wes back because I want to ask my final two questions.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates, young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
So here are the final two questions. I want to get your thoughts on this one. First of all, who is the golfer that if they win or are competing at the end, you are going to have the most self-loathing over because you will not have any position on them? Like, who's the guy that you – and by that, I mean, obviously, there's, like, you know, millions of choices.
Yeah.
I'm talking about someone who you're thinking about betting but ultimately are not going to, and then they're going to stick it up your you-know-what when all is said and done.
Well, I just mentioned Connors or Theegala, but if we're being honest, I wouldn't bet an outright on Connors anyway. So I guess Theegala might be the answer for me, but it's also Brooks Koepka.
Yeah.
But
oh, because, yeah.
I'm glad you brought this up because there's also the outrights I rattled off. Like I'm leaving room to get in live as well. Like,
okay, so that was my second question.
Yeah, like there are some guys at the top of that board. Whether it, and mainly I'm talking Scheffler, Rahm, Koepka.
Yes.
Yeah, those three. Literally those three is what I'm talking about of where I would look to get in live on one of those.
So these were exactly my final two questions. And, Wes, I think you've given out all your bets already, so I can ask you the final two questions?
Yeah, so far. I'm going to add more, of course, over the next couple days. But
The final two.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, you finish your thought. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say I'm going to add a couple more of the placements. Usually I don't place those on a week until like Tuesday or Wednesday, you know, just to kind of get a gauge of the market. But that's what I have at least at the moment, but more to come, certainly.
Okay, so here are the final two questions. They're not the Megapod questions, but they're the final two. And Kelly's right. They are kind of related, which is my standard question for golf is much of golf betting for many is a self-loathing. Like you think about betting a golfer, but you don't pull the trigger on it, and then come Sunday back nine, there they are either in the lead or in contention. And so my first question is, you know, which is the golfer that is going to cause you the most self-loathing because you're not going to have any money on it? But Kelly's right. My second question is actually related, which is, on the other hand, how much of your betting pie is going to be in tournament? So Scheffler, who's 4-1, we all love Scotty Scheffler. For God's sakes, I feel like you should have a bet on him in every tournament. But at 4-1, it's ridiculous, right? Like no one's really betting him pre-flop. No, I shouldn't say no one, someone is. But it's not like necessarily something that you guys would do. Who is the golfer that you aren't going to have anything pre-flop, but you will be quick to jump in on if a number becomes more favorable?
It might be Patrick Cantlay, actually, because he has drifted up to 40-1. And this is a guy, I already have a prop bet on him to win a major this year. But yeah, Patrick Cantlay, Victor Hovland being another one. Those are kind of the two guys that have drifted up that I thought, okay, this is their year going into this year where they're going to finally win a major. And neither has really played that great. Cantlay was the 54-hole leader at Riviera when I had him, and Zalatoris as well, and they got passed by Matsuyama, who shot that 62 on Sunday to get the win. But yeah, Victor Hovland's kind of been a little bit off this year. You know, he has a sports psychologist out there. He's had a different swing coach, but he's got the potential, man. But I just am like, okay, the week I don't put these guys on here are the weeks that they're going to burn me. So you always have that FOMO type of thing, I think, especially as a golf futures bettor.
Yeah.
But those are the two that I think have drifted up a little bit where it's like, man, these guys would be in like the teens or the 20-1, and now you're seeing them like 40-1 out there in the market.
Those are good answers. All right, I lied. Here's my last question. So Hovland and Cantlay would fill that bill. Who's the guy, though, that no matter how good he's doing, rounds one, rounds two, rounds three, it's not going to be a Hovland or Cantlay, but you're still going to be like, I'm still not betting this guy. There's no way I'm betting him. This can't be real. It's not happening.
Oh,
is that a Tyrrell Hatton kind of guy?
Wes, who you got?
Oh, man.
Probably Ludwig.
That's actually,
I mean, I don't know if
Ludwig.
I'm just I could pick on guys. Ludwig. Or,
that would be a good answer.
That is a good answer.
You don't feel like, okay, it's his time. You feel like eventually he's going to have a time, but is it going to be here? Like, can this really happen? Like, that seems like something that only Tiger Woods would do, like win his first ever major on it, you know, that early in his career. But a couple guys, even though I did bet him on a matchup that I won't have on an outright, just because the form isn't there, is Patrick Reed. You know, like last year we were watching this when the LIV guys all kind of got ignored in the betting market and drifted up too far, and then they played really well. Well, now, especially if like Brooks and you throw Joaquin Neiman in there too, and maybe even DeChambeau, where it's kind of like, okay, everybody knows that these guys, you know, are still at least playing, you know, somewhat competitive golf, whatever you think of the LIV Tour. But Bryson DeChambeau, actually a name I just mentioned, that's a guy I will say, because his distance, he's still number one in distance. He's still got some touch around the greens, but I just don't feel, and remember he had that quote where it's like, I feel like 67's even par. He had that asinine quote, and then he proceeded to shoot, I think, like several over. But Bryson DeChambeau, just to me, on these greens, I never trust him.
Yeah.
I never trust him on these bent grass greens, on these slick greens. So yeah. That might be the one where it's like, oh, this can't be real. Like, he's about to falter at some point.
As I was scrolling down the odds board, that was the next name I was going to mention. I think Ludwig may be a little unfair because we're picking on one of the newbie kids.
Yeah.
For guys that have been here before, who have, you know, who have won, you know, on tours before, Bryson DeChambeau would be there. I'm with Wes. I don't think there's any situation where I'd be like, oh, man, I missed out on Bryson.
I forgot he said that too.
Yeah. I think the one that's fascinating, just going back to your in tournament question, is like, you know, Sia we talked about already, does so much with first round leaders. I'll be dialing back a little bit that, you know, some of my first round betting, which is then going to impact me dialing back how much kind of in tournament stuff I'm doing, simply because of this weather. And I don't know that I'm going to feel confident enough by Wednesday night to really, I mean, we'll see. Stuff changes, and there might be a window there where you actually do think there's some groups that have a really big advantage. But we're sitting here on Tuesday late morning right now, and Thursday looks like it could be a complete washout from start to finish.
Oh, so, you pointed that out last year. Like, what if it just completely gets eliminated? Well, and
there's that, right, Wes? Yeah. Like, I know we try to talk about these weather windows, but, like, there's a lot of times where it's just a washout and everybody gets pushed back. So, sometimes, golf bettors can outthink themselves sometimes when they try to look for those advantages. So, I'll tell you, if it's looking like it looks right now, I can't imagine I'm going to have much invested on Thursday outside of my top guys like Sia mentioned. Like, I'll still bet Decky, first-round leader, because I'm loaded up on him so heavily already. But honestly, that could be it. That might be it for first round.
Did we have a Masters that ever went to Monday, didn't we?
Oh. Yeah, we've had it a couple times. Yes.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay. Listen, appreciate it from both of you guys. Hope that gave some folks some food for thought. And I asked that last question not to, like, embarrass you guys if those guys end up being at the top, but just to let other folks know what you guys are thinking in terms of if you have the instinct to bet Bryson DeChambeau, well, these guys might not still, even if he's playing well. Phil Mickelson might be in that same category, right?
The last note I'll add on Brooks, like, there's also, like, this is live betting's live betting. Doesn't matter what sport, right?
Right.
I can say it's really easy for me to sit here on a Tuesday and say I would love to grab Scheffler, Rahm, or Brooks live.
Yeah.
But, of course, I could be beating myself up on Monday if Brooks grabs a first-round lead and goes wire to wire to win the damn thing.
And you might change your mind. And, by the way, that's, from our perspective, like, sports betting 101, what annoys us most is when people think we must be beholden exactly to the picks we make in the moments that we're doing a show or a podcast, when in fact we're all live bettors too, right? I'll just give a clean example of this. When the FedEx Cup happened a few years ago, the three tournament arc, and I had Koepka bets, and I talked about Koepka, but there was a moment on Sunday where I could grab Rory back to just make sure I didn't lose everything. And you had to time it perfectly, and you had to be present, and your girlfriend or your wife couldn't be bothering you. But these are the things that go into all of betting. And so, we'll see how it plays out. I do think, though, that the weather point is a good one, and that, you know, also just for newer golfers, the quickest way to ruin is not everybody's Wes Reynolds, right? Mere mortals don't hit outrights on a regular basis. So the quickest way to what we call a betting leak, and I've talked about this on a numbers game recently, might be golf outrights. Like, if you bet too many of them pre-flop, it's probably a losing proposition, right? Like, not everybody's going to hit these at a high rate. So just be mindful of that. You guys have Long Shots live 11 p.m. tonight Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific. Wes, Kelly, and Matt Brown. The name of the podcast is called Long Shots. Is the live different from the podcast? Yes.
Yeah, it will just be reposted.
Oh, just reposted.
Yeah, so, the show, again, not live, getting recorded.
We'll do it live.
We'll do it live. Bill O'Reilly.
Once again, not live. Do not be waiting to see us outside of the Circus studio at that time.
live to tape.
There you go. Live to tape.
Is that what we call it in the biz?
So you mean to tell me you're not doing this podcast, a live podcast, and a podcast, is what you're telling
me? That is correct, yes.
Okay. Long Shots is the name of the podcast, though. They do it every week, the three of them. At least when Matt shows up, they do it, all three of them. Matt is at the Masters, so we're all jealous of him, so I'm just poking fun. Good for him. Have you ever been to the Masters, Wes?
I have not. It's a bucket list item,
me
though,
too.
Me
too.
Yeah, they don't like my kind there at Augusta either, Midwest hillbillies.
Yeah, we don't really like Wes Reynolds coming down here either.
All right, Wes Reynolds at Wes Reynolds 1. That's the number one on Twitter. Also the co-host of VEASAN Tonight with Matt Eumanns. What is that, 6 p.m., is it, Wes?
It is now 8 p.m. Pacific, 11
right.
p.m. Eastern, 11 to 2. And then, replay us going into Mitch and Paul in the morning.
So you guys are on like 4 or 5 consecutive times through the night.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then Kelly Bidlin, at Kelly Bidlin, that's KelleyByDlon on Twitter. He is the producer number 9 of a numbers game weekdays here on the network. Really, really is my sidekick, for God's sakes. He's on the air all the time. In fact, if you parse it out, Kelly talks more than I. No, I'm kidding.
People would say that.
And what's your show on the weekend? When? What time?
Live Bet Sunday with Dustin Sweetelson.
Yes.
3 to 7 Eastern.
Thank you, Wes. Thank you, Kelly. Listen to Long Shots tonight. Good luck with all your bets. The 88th Masters from Augusta.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.